Concours Agricom 2008, épreuve orale de langue anglaise. Texte numéro 3. Olympic Heat. Seoul in 1988, or Berlin in 1936. Debate about the staging of the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing tends to polarize opinion. Most Chinese, and foreigners optimistic about the country's direction, see it as a fitting symbol of China's emergence as a global power. They also argue the Games will ease political repression and open China up to the outside world. The Berlin 1936 camp argues that China's record of human rights abuses and repression is such that it should never have been awarded the Games at all. And far from bringing liberalization, the Olympics will actually make things worse. Residents in places earmarked for stadiums will be uprooted, dissidents harassed, and protesters locked up. A debate just staged in London by The Economist and the Stockholm Network, a European think tank, followed a familiar pattern. A Chinese economist claimed things are improving in her country. Audience members and opposing panelists, including a representative of Amnesty International, a human rights organization, disagreed volubly. The audience included some who had been victims of persecution at the hands of the Chinese state. This same argument has been going on for a decade, but since China was awarded the Olympics in 2001, it has become anachronistic. Hardly anyone, certainly not Amnesty, is calling for a boycott of the Beijing Games, and barring some unforeseen disaster, they will go ahead. The proposition actually up for debate was rather different, that the Beijing Olympics will allow China to fool the world. In other words, at issue was not whether China deserved the Games, or whether they will be good or bad for the human rights of its citizens. The question was actually whether the international attention brought by the Olympics will allow China to present itself to the outside world as something it is not. It is possible that the thousands of journalists who converge on Beijing for the Games will simply file awe-struck reports about the spectacular Olympic architecture, dazzled descriptions of the newfound wealth of China's urban elite, and naive interpretations of patriotic pride as evidence of devotion to the Communist Party. They might ignore the poverty that still afflicts large parts of China, the hideous environmental cost being paid for China's breakneck growth, and the government's efforts to prevent or quash protests. But this seems unlikely. Sports reporters aside, editors will expect journalists cover both sides of the China story. The spectacular economic advance, as well as the survival of one-party dictatorship, with all the repressive consequences that implies. The authorities may, indeed almost certainly will, try to thwart their efforts to report the latter story. Security will be stepped up, dissidents warned not to make trouble, and censorship tightened. One of the panelists opposing the motion, David Smith, economics editor of the Sunday Times, made a convincing case that the increased scrutiny the Games will bring will make it harder, not easier, for China to fool the world. Fin du texte numéro 3.